All right, we're starting on the bottom of Ayin Chet Amud Bet. We have the two dots. That so this is an interesting case because it's today it has a lot of reverberations of what people try to do today. So a woman wanted to keep her property away from her husband. So she had property, but she didn't want to, when she got married, she didn't want the property to end up with her husband. So how did she do this? Kadvino the brata. So she had previously been married. She had children. So she had a daughter. So she wrote or gave all the property into her daughter's name, and to prevent her future husband from getting a hold of it. Intiba. So as we always know that if the marriage starts off on that good foot, right? She got married via garsha and ends up getting divorced from this second guy. So she had, in order to prevent this second guy from getting the possessions, getting her property, she'd given it all away to her daughter, and then she gets married and gets divorced. So now when she has an issue, she wants her property back. Right? She gave it to her daughter to really prevent the second husband from getting the property, but now she needs to live. She wants to get her property back. So Atai Lekamei to Rav Nachman. She came over to Rav Nachman, and Kare Rav Nachman Lishtorim. Nachman ripped up the shtar. Meaning, ripped up the shtar, Matono, the gift that she gave to her daughter, therefore returning the possessions to her. So Atal Rav Anan Lekamei to Mar Ukva. So Rav Anan, after seeing this, went to Mar Ukva. I'm like, Chazi Mar Nachman Chaklo, hey, from the Kare Shtare Dinshe? He says, did you see the farmer Nachman? Meaning, I guess, obviously, put down to Rav Nachman for acting in such a way. Farmer Nachman, hey, can we carry Shtari Dinshe, that how he rips up the Shtarim of people, and that he just ripped up this whole Shtar. So I'm like, Emily, easy gufa, the Uvda Hayef Ahavo. Alright, you know what, before you, give me the conclusion, tell me how it happened. What really happened over there? I'm like, okay, well, Ahavo, it tells him the whole case. I'm like, Shtar Mavrechet Kamart. You're talking about Shtar Mavrechet, right, from the word Bore Akre, to chase away. I mean, Shtar Mavrechet is to chase away claimants from the property, how to protect property for the claimants. Hakei Amar Rechinelai Bar Idi Amar Shmuel. Moreh Horani, right? I'm a posek halacha. If I ever see a brachet liyadi ekaren, if I ever see a shtar that's built solely to take away liabilities, I guess, or from certain property, ekaren, I'll rip it up. Which is basically exactly what Rav Nachman did.
Is that also in the case? Is he talking about the case where her current husband is claiming the property? She's already given it to the daughter. There's a shtar there, and the husband claiming that property, he'll tear up the shtar so the husband will go to the...
All right, so that's your question, is does it work? All right, that's the basic question. Does this work? So that's the next line. The Gemara Revel of Nachman. Time on my. What's the reason this is? So the low shavi kini shtapshay be'avi lechrine. So nobody will give up, meaning that nobody gives a gift away where they give everything to someone else and leave themselves with nothing. And that's definitely not the intention. So that's why
give away.
The Gemara says, Hanamili Akwini. That's when we're talking about third parties. Aval the brato, yeiva. Right? Maybe to your child, you would do such a thing, that you give all your property and leave yourself with nothing, assuming that the child will
take care of you.
Yeah, exactly. Support you. So the Gemara says, Afilo Akhi, Bamokum brato, Nasha Difula. Even in the place of a daughter, we still say a person takes care of themselves first, and therefore it would not. You still rip up the shtar. So now the question is, does it work? Right, which is this next piece in the Gemara. I mean, that the whole point of doing this is to create a basically like a corporation where it's shielded from the personal liabilities of this individual. So does that work? I mean, that the fact that we're ripping up the shtar afterwards and saying that it's really not a gift. Is it a gift enough to protect the assets, and just if for some reason they want it back, it's okay? Or is it fail even in protecting the assets? I mean, like what you would suggest is if it fails, then the husband can come and get the property. So maitevei. I wrote, shetavriach nechaseha mibala. There's someone, a woman, who wants to protect her assets from her husband. Ketzad hiota. What does she do? So she's kotevet shtar pasim lacherim. So she'll write out a shtar pasim lacherim. What's a shtar pasim? Rashi says shtar piyusim. That somewhere, like to have somebody take a gift. I mean, to convince them to take a gift. To get rid of her husband's rights on it. So Dibri Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So that's the problem. So the Chachamim raise your issue, which is that what? If the gift is good enough to protect against the husband or the Baal Chov coming and grabbing the assets, then it's good enough to be a gift that the person doesn't have to return it. I mean, that, right, that's the real test. The real test of whether it's a, that in the Gemara and the Dorm, that's what the Gemara says, that by Beis Choron, the question is about Xera by Nidorim, whether you can go through a third party. What happens if a father or son is mudarno from each other, right? And then they want to have a, he wanted to throw a wedding. So how did he do this? He gives all the money to a third party, and the third party makes the wedding, right? So then the other person went ahead, and there, I think in the Mandarim, he was Mekadesh, the money. So the guy says, I didn't give him to you for you to be Mekadesh, right? I wanted you to do this. So he says, well, I'm not going to be the one who basically, I'm not going to be the one who's chotev for you guys, because if you didn't really give it to me to do whatever I want with it, then all I'm doing is being your shaliach. Right? So that's the point is that in order to prove that the other person has real ownership, it means they can do whatever they want with it. If you could still dictate the terms of what happens to that property, then you really haven't given a gift. So come and say, what could this guy do? He can play around with her. He can say, basically, you know, I'm keeping the money. It's all mine. Right, so what does she have to write? This This kinyan is from today and when I want it. In that there are two conditions to the kinyan. One is that me'ayom, because that we want it to be retroactive to the day of the giving, which because otherwise it doesn't protect her. When she's married, the assets aren't protected anymore. So that's me me'ayom, which means prior to the marriage. The other condition is that I want it. That I have to somehow be mafil. I have to turn on this contract. How do I turn on this contract? That's if I want it. Right? So
when she's married, her das is never written by her husband?
No. Her husband can't dictate her das then, right? No. He has a kinyan nechassim, but he doesn't have a kinyan, a goof, where he can dictate everything about her. He has certain rights, like to be made for Nidorim, but that's only Beinu Lebeinu, and they have certain rights, but not aware he can tell her everything to do or exactly what to do.
She can give away something that's his?
No. No. But that's not hers to give away. I mean, that's, she has rights to act as a person, but she has to own it. I mean,
this is her
anyway, the basic premise of giving away or giving something is that you have to own it. If she doesn't own it, her husband's property, she doesn't own. So she can't give it away. So over here, what Eric said means that she already gave the property away. Right? But, and she made a kinyan, and the chalos kinyan happened prior to the marriage. But there happens to be another condition in there, that is what? That when she wants it, it turns on when she wants it. So that until it's latent, meaning that it's latent, that the kinyan does not take it in effect, the completion of the kinyan is not until she says, I want it. So that way she protects herself. So that way, if she wants to come take the property back, she said, I never turned it on, so I can take the property back. Right, so time of discovery lay halki, the only reason is if she writes such a thing. Halo kosu lay halki, kanina lokea. If she did not do that, right, then the lokea, the buyer, would get it, right? Which would run into our problem over here, which is basically over here, Rav Nachman went ahead and ripped up the shtar, right, over here, where she gifted it to her daughter, and yet we never saw her say any language of Hayom of Sheretzet. It sounds like what? That the gift was a good gift, and the daughter should be able to keep the, right, keep the possessions. So it says, Lo kasha, Rav Zera lo kasha, habakula ha b'miktosa. That depends on how much she gives, how much of her property did she give away, right? Because if she gave away kula, right, then we know what? If she gets divorced afterwards, then we know that she didn't. She only intended to give it away, but not to her detriment, where she can't get anything back. There's a similar thing by Shchiv Meirah, right? Or a bari who gives away, and then he's sick, and he gives away property. Right? So if he gets healthy afterwards, do we say that it's reversed? So that depends on how he gave away the property. If he gave away everything, then our assumption is that the reason he gave it away was because he assumed he was going to die. And therefore, if he becomes healthy, then we assume that he's going to reverse all those kinyanim. Whereas if he died, if he gives away a portion of it and keeps a portion, that means that he had some suffix in his mind that he might actually live. And he preserves some property for himself. So then we can't go and reverse all the other kinyanim. So here too, if she gave away kulo, if she gave away all of it, then we know her intent was what? Just to get rid of the other, the baal reka lokeach, I mean the husband. And therefore, afterwards we can take it back. But if she only gives away a portion of it, then we need this language in there in order to protect her.
But if she gives away all of it, right, then we still have that, so whether it's a goose.
Right, okay, great. So the Gemara's going to, exactly, the next line in the Gemara.
I'm sorry.
So, Vilo kaninu lokeach, kaninu baal. Right? So he says, if the lokeach didn't really have a kinyan on it, and if you're saying by kulo, right, that it's reversible afterwards, then the husband should get it. I mean, there's only two possible people who could have the possession of the property right now. It's either the person she gifted it to, or her husband. You can't have it that neither of them have possession of it, right? That doesn't work. Right? Exactly your question. So Marbaya assum can the chasim shein doin the baal, but leave it there be shimon. Alright, so now, they made them like, the chasim shein doin the baal, that's something we had a term yesterday with Rabbi Shimon that says what? That the husband only acquires a kinyan in property that what? That he knows about, that are available and known to him right now. Right, so that was Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Rabbi Shimon says if she's going to inherit money somewhere else in the world, right, that her husband does not get possession of those because he didn't marry assuming that those would come. Those were not in his calculations when he married her. Right, so too over here, this is like property that even though it's going to come to her in the end, it will come back to her. It's property that her husband does not have, right, his mind on. It's a property that her husband does not have any consideration because she's already given it away, so he thinks it belongs to the other person. So it comes back to her, right, then he's not going to get it only because that wasn't part of the property that he assumed he would acquire at the time of the marriage.
Even if you say that such an opinion is reversible, so forget about this last answer. Before we get to this last answer,
okay,
let's say the question is, should the husband be able to seize the property or whatever? The case was that she got divorced. So let's say that while they were married, the husband could have put a claim on it.
Right.
But if he didn't, for whatever reason, once they're divorced, they said that he could still come and say that it should belong to him.
Well, it's not the property. See, for him, it's not the property itself. If they got divorced and she didn't create the season,
it's the
production of the property. He's going to claim that I got cheated out of income over that period.
He can claim the payrolls.
Yeah, the payrolls. Exactly.
Yeah, I should have.
I was entitled to payrolls all the time that I was married to her because.
And I didn't learn though that when she was that he can't claim those payrolls. I mean, so it goes back to the woman. But it doesn't mean that doesn't can go back to the payrolls. I mean,
the whole point of meaning that he would never own the property unless she's predeceased.
Yeah, so
the shtar, can he go back and get the payrolls?
Right. He's talking about the relationship between the woman and the woman she gave it to.
Right.
Shmuel was never talking about the relationship of the woman and the husband. Maybe it's cheated, of course. Because it doesn't belong to that person, then you would get payrolls.
Well, that's what the Gemara is challenging over here. The Gemara is asking if it doesn't work, then the husband should get it.
No,
in fact, the Gemara doesn't.
Shmuel doesn't say he doesn't. Shmuel doesn't.
I hear you saying that. I say, but the Gemara's assumption is that if it's successful, that it's only afterwards he ripped it up. He doesn't go rip it up beforehand. I just want to point out a couple of things here. Question is, does she have to, by high kula, what's happening over here? So look at, if you just look in Rashi, it's interesting. Habakula, ki amar Shmuel, lokani. What is the case that Shmuel says that she's not koneh? But gave away all her possessions. The cave into since she didn't leave anything else for herself. If she gets divorced, so it's not even that she has to make the claim, it's just that we are, right, the automatic assumption, there's an underlying assumption in her gift, right, that she was not gomer.
Is that because she wants to leave something for herself?
Right, that's the Gemara's underlying assumption. What?
Can we say that when she left herself as a ksuma? If she doesn't get divorced, she has nothing. If she gets divorced, she gets a ksuma.
If she gets divorced, she will. It depends why she got divorced, right?
If she'll be saying the self-disengagement.
Yeah, she wants it, and then she wants to be supported. Suba isn't necessarily. She needs, you know, mazonos and everything, right? She needs something to protect her karka. So over here, and then it says, Vaha, And one way they can play around with her is when he only gave away the bot, the receiver of the gift can play around with her is only where she gave a portion of it. But I don't, the Gemara has the interesting to me, which is as difficult as the Gemara's answer to how to solve this with a mixus is how she should put a tnai in her what in her gift. Her gift should be my yom, ulu kisha erzeh. I mean, it's from today, and if I need to work it. So when is she going to need to kisha erzeh? If the husband comes and what and wants to make a claim, he comes and says it's my property, and she goes, no, it's not your property; it belongs to him, right?
Yeah, she's dead already.
Right. What?
Yeah, only if she's dead already.
Right, but then
it's your property. Although the payros, he could try to claim.
Right, the payros. I mean, but he's trying to get the, not right. Okay, right.
No, he comes with the payros. She said that you the
present. I gave it as a present, so that means she erts it. So now she's turning on the kinyan. Meaning that when he comes, his husband comes to make a claim right against her, she's going to say, now I want it to work, and it's going to go to that person.
It's a present that she wants to get.
What? No, she gives it as a gift, right? And
so she wants it back. She takes it back.
Oh, okay. She say I want it back.
Yeah.
No, I think it says.
I want it back. I'll pull back.
No, here. Look, Ashtiftov. Rakan Rashi. Ashtiftov. It's not. Bishar them ayom nitunim lach. Right? They're given to you. Ushke erze yishkan habrakom ibala. And when I want it to work, it will get rid of my husband. I mean that the kinyan will go effective at that point in time. Right? So she involved this goat if he comes in. Tomar, ani rotzeh b'matana. Right? We need to say, hayim et l'mafreya, that I want the present to work, and it works retroactively. Right? So, v'im zen shenikta b'shar yabot lachzik, tomar ani rotzeh. And if the person who is getting the gift comes along and says, I want the property, it's my property, I can do whatever I want with it, she'll say, I don't want the kinyan to work. The problem is that what? If the husband's smart, he'll get together with this other guy, they'll have a communion between them, and then what? We'll split the difference, you go in and start the kinyan. Meaning, but she does still lose control. Which is part of the issue. It doesn't totally solve her problem here, which is that it does solve her problem that she has control until the husband takes action against the property. But the husband does take action against the property, then she does turn the kinyan on, and then it does become, it does go to this individual. And therefore, she has problems getting, she will have problems getting it back. So again,
she turns it on and she turns it back.
She has the right to turn it off. Yeah, no, Rashi doesn't learn that. What Rashi's learning that she has the right to turn it on and to protect it until she turns it on. But that's, so Rashi only sees it as a binary decision. Either I do turn it on or I don't turn it on. But I think it's a, but you could, again, but why couldn't it be a situation, again, where the husband and this guy get together and say, listen, you tell her, I'll go and tell her I want the property. She'll have to say the king goes to you. And then she gets the property and then she's out of luck. So I didn't see it as a total solution. It solves a part of the problem unless the two of them get together and figure it out.
It doesn't really solve the problem. It doesn't really solve the problem at all. I mean, it solves the problem if the person that she gave it to, is going to be willing to give it back to her. But the last thing is, the whole thing is just a device to keep away from the husband, right? And to protect the husband. So once the husband, says, I want it, that's when she's going to turn it on, and it's not hers anymore.
Right.
So what good did it do protecting it from her husband? Unless her intention is, it should go to, like, in the case where she gave it to her daughter, you can understand. Right. She wants it to go to her daughter. She doesn't want to go to the husband's children or anything else. Okay, so maybe, maybe negative, but Sam.
He's rather be the murderer, because the husband won't want the payros. Right. She's doing a trip.
Right. No, it's interesting. Generally, the Gemara suggests in these types of cases, the Gemara usually in other places suggests that you give it to someone that is mudalov, that someone that we know will take care of you, that won't be an issue with, right? That, again, like a daughter, someone where she trusts the person to give it back to the other.
So we think that a husband would do that.
Well, it was her second husband already, and she was protecting, she was a wealthy woman, she needed a prenuptial, she wanted to protect herself. Anyway, just an interesting Gemara, because I think it affects today, meaning in terms of people trying to do this. I mean, people trying to, especially, before death and trying to move assets, right, without losing control over those assets, and whether in halacha you can do such a thing, you can get rid of the assets, protect them, like a corporation does some of that, or limited liabilities corporation, that they protect your assets without you losing some sort of control over them, but in the end they don't totally protect the assets, like here they're trying to protect them.
But if she has a child, let's say with the husband, just to say that, like a prenuptial agreement.
Yeah, they do. They have, the Gemara's going to have something like this, which is called Ainli Asik. Ainli Asik, but payroll club, but payroll, payroll club. The Gemara needs to know.
And that works, right?
It works. It does work. He can.
It's a little bit earlier, also.
Right. She has to, they have to do it. At the time, they have to do it. But he can write her, she can have him, right? Or a scribe that says, I have no rights in these peiros. Then the Gemara deals with what happens if you have peiros in the peiros. So then there's peiros. What are his rights? How far do his rights go? And how far does he have the right that I don't have rights in your property? But yes, there is a way to do that, to write a star. But obviously in this case, he wasn't willing to do such a thing. So she wanted to get rid of the property. And the marriage wasn't off to a good start. Because, you know, she was married and divorced again because, you know, the fact is that she couldn't deal with this with her husband, right? She tried to be mabriach, and then she ends up in a divorce anyway. Right. Just in the last line of the Gemara, it says also, by the way, it's...
That's not right, though, that one shouldn't do a prenup.
No, not at all. I wouldn't say that. I'm just saying that the fact that she couldn't... No, but she didn't do a prenup.
I thought she wanted to have a wedding. You know, you have your mayor film?
No.
And I won't see that at the wedding. There's a copy of the prenup. So, you know, Chas v'Shalom, she might end up in divorce if he has to hear her again.
She didn't do that here. She didn't use a prenuptial here. She went ahead and tried to do it behind his back. I mean, that's the big difference. Right. The last thing here is that the last line of the Gemara is Asum can eschum shein adum levav aliba de Rabbi Shimon. That vav is a questionable vav, and Tosfos deals with this vav, meaning that we don't necessarily pass like Rabbi Shimon. So do we want to say that Abaye's statement is Asum can eschum shein adum levav aliba de Rabbi Shimon or aliba de Rabbi Shimon? Meaning that are you using, is it the halakha like Rabbi Shimon and that's what we're doing it? Or is Abaye saying this is the same equivalent to what Rabbi Shimon would say? This is not halakha like Rabbi Shimon, but rather this equivalent. That's what Tosfos deals with, whether that vav there, that vav will make a difference in the way you explain the Gemara.
There's a footnote here, actually, that based on that line of the Gemara, that's the Rishonim assume that means illegal than Rabbi Shimon.
Right, so that's what Tosfos deals with. Depends whether you have the vav or not will determine whether we're actually talking like Rabbi Shimon, or he's just saying this is an equivalent type of, you know, case that...
Well, basically, if it's with the vav, it means we do pass like Rabbi Shimon.
Well, that vav would have to be like him if you would want to say that it protects the parents.
Here, if you look in the Tosfos, you can see that it's in the narrow line. It's the second narrow line in Tosfos. Olam leis hilchasu kavase, right? That the halacha is not like Rav Shimon. Imkain, right? Havale lemeimar asum kinechasim. If you say that the halacha is not like Rav Shimon, it should have said kinechasim shein yiduin lebal aliba de Rabbi Shimon. It should have without the vav below vav. Right? The fact that the vav is shav amashu kinechasim shein yiduin lemishtabli lebal aliba de Rabbi Shimon. Hakanaim avrecha lekuliyama. That means like just like it works with Rabbi Shimon, according to everyone, it works by Mavrechet. Not that we're passing like Rabbi Shimon, but just like it works. That's it. But once you ask, my dekamar vit aliba de Rabbi Shimon, once you already put the vav in vit aliba de Rabbi Shimon, mashmadaf kol Rabbi Shimon, that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, and we pass
it. Makes sense. If you're only Rabbi Shimon, then why should it work for the vav?
No, you're just saying that a shtar Mavrechet creates this situation which would work according to Rabbi Shimon's.
But if you said that he's really not going there, then why does it not have a curtain? It has to be white because you didn't know that.
You have to come up with something that works it. All right, Tosfos says we pass into that vav. That's an important thing. All right, let's go. Mishnah. Nafala kisafim. So now what happens if she comes in with money, actual money? So yikach b'hem karka. They'll buy with it property. Ulokel peiros. Then he eats peiros, meaning that they have to preserve the keren for her somehow. So the money can't just go straight to him, the money, because she has to have some keren. So the keren, they buy land, and then he gets the production of the land. Peiros are solution. I mean, a karka, if the peiros already picked off the ground, means they're separate from the ground, then they're equivalent of money or metalklin. Then you buy karka, but we'll call peiros. Peiros are mechubar of the karka. Now, what do you do with fruits? All of a sudden, she comes into a marriage, she has a field, and it has fruits that are on it that are still attached to the trees. Right? So, Amir Rabbi Meir, Shamino talk coming off of the peiros, but coming off of below peiros. So, you do an assessment of the property, what's the differential of the value of the property if it had no fruits on it, and the value today with those fruits on it. So then the differential, which should be the value of the actual fruits, right, the peiros, you take that money and then buy karka with it in order that you have karen again and peiros outside. No, that doesn't work. If it's mechubar lekarka, it's the equivalent of karka. And therefore what? The other way around. Mechubar lekarka shalo. That when they come in, that's part of what he gets when it comes into the marriage. So meaning that when those peiros ripen, those are peiros of the land.
That's the peiros that he gets.
Right. That's solution. But once they're picked, they are hers. So we don't say, I'm sorry, I said the other way around, but we don't say, and it belongs to her. I mean, the peros are peros, and it doesn't matter what stage they're in, right, they belong to him.
The husband won't get married in the springtime.
Right. We only have pre-fruit marriages here. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Makom Shiyapa Koko B'Knisata, Horo Koko B'Tziyata, right? Meaning that it'll be an equivalence, meaning that it'll be the same thing true. Makom Shiyapa Koko B'Knisata, Yapa Koko B'Tziyata. But then where he has a deficit, and when she comes in, he'll also, what? He'll be stronger when she goes out. What does that mean? Okay, Paris and Makom Barim B'Karka, if she comes, gets married, and there's fruits that are attached to the tree still, then B'Knisata Shalom. They go to him. Ubi Tziata, if they get divorced, they're going to belong to her. Because if you say what? If you say that they belong to him when they come in, when they go out, they belong to her. Because then they still belong to the car, right? They belong to the, they're separated, right? Atzilushin, if they're separated, pictory, minakarka, b'kniyasata, shalat, they become her, and then you, they're hers, meaning that when you bring them in, you have to buy karka, and the karen is shomer for her. Ubtiyata, shalat. And then when they get divorced, then they will be his. If they're picked already, then they're ready to find his payros, and he can keep them. Okay. Shita. So Gemara says that they know for sure. If it's aruvate, if it's lands, a choice between what do they buy with this money? If it's a choice between buying land or houses, ara, you buy land. Now the question is, who can actually make this demand? According to Rashi, either party can make the demand. It's shnei me'akdim, either side, either the husband or the wife. If either one of them wants to do something else, the other one can be me'akdim and say that if it's land or house, it's land, right? Tosfos says no, that this is really the woman can be me'akdim. That the woman can stop the husband if he's going to buy something. But if the woman wants to buy a house, that's her choice where she puts the karen, and the husband cannot stop her. It's only one way. But they did lay.
What are the parents?
But the rent.
Any appreciation or
the rent, not the appreciation, but the rent, right? Appreciation belongs to the Karen. It's the rent or whatever you can do, right? The house, the living, the ability to live. Even if they live in it, that is a payros because that's, right, it's the equivalent of rent. Right? But that is right. Rent would be. Bate v'dikle, it's a choice between houses and palm trees. Bate. Dikle v'yinone, it's a difference between a palm tree and other trees. Dikle. Now, all these situations, the consideration is the duration of the Karen. That is, means the value of the underlying principle when it's done. So what you want to do is you want to buy the item that's going to retain the most value in the end. So basically, God is giving you a hierarchy of what retains value. They're saying land retains the most value. It doesn't depreciate. It doesn't go anywhere. Houses need to be fixed up. They appreciate in value. They're used, right? So that's the next thing. Dikley or palm trees have good production, but they last for a longer time. They're unlikely to die or dry up. Ilone, regular trees, right, are that way. Ilone begufne comes between a tree and a vineyard, right? Ilane. Then we would pick a Ilane. We'd pick a tree. Because the vineyard, it's a question of whether a tree is really better than a vineyard or not, but the other Rishonim suggest that what? That it's the amount of outlays to maintain a vineyard are much higher than that which takes to preserve a tree. So that even though maybe in the end a vineyard is worth more than a tree, because the production, the wine or the grape production will be more valuable, the fact is that the amount of hashkah, the amount of investment that needs to get that output is very high, and therefore it's questionable whether you really want to give that over to the husband, because who's going to have to make that investment? The husband. So is it worth it to have her buy the vineyard and assume the husband will invest in it, or are we better off just giving her the tree, even though it may not be as valuable in the long run, but then he has to put less into it, and it's a little more likely that she'll end up with the Karen. And so, right now, Abba, this next line in the Gemara, it's difficult to read. The one issue is, what is the Gemara's question here? Abba Zardita, right? Upeira de Kavare. So these items, these Abba Zardita, Upeira de Kavare, what are these? What's Abba Zardita and Upeira de Kavare? So if you look in Rashi, all right, Abba is a yar. Okay, it's a forest, right? You can buy a forest to buy, you know, to chop wood. For what? Zardito is a ilana shel ozardin. Alright, it's some sort of berry tree. Well, you have peri and choshuv lehen. But the fruits aren't valuable, meaning that you don't use it for fruit because the fruits aren't valuable. But kotz not on eitim, it's wood. Alright? So all these cases, and the last one is peri de kvare chafir shel dagim, is a viviar. Right? It's a fish pond. Alright, so now all of these cases, you have the trees are really the karen. In one say, when you talk about trees, before we talk about trees being karen, and the peros are the production of the trees. But if trees are for wood, that when you chop the tree down, right, is the tree really the Karen, or is that really the Peros? Right, because here he bought a horse, and he's going to chop the wood. Now, are the trees the Karen, right, or are they really Peros? Meaning that which side of the price? Is that the land is the Aro, and then the trees become the Peros, and when you cut the trees down, that's the Peros of the land? Or do we say the trees are the Karen, and that chopping the trees down is taking the Karen? So then where it says, Amri la Peros, Amri la Karno. All right, I'm reading like Rashi now. There's some that say that what is Peros, and some that say it's what? Karno. Meaning that if these things fall to her in a consideration, what does she have to, what do we do with them? I mean, if she gets Yerusha, that's one of these items, do we have to sell them and buy some Karen? Or do we have to, or is this the Karen and then he's entitled to these payros? So what is the consideration of a forest? The forest is Karen, then what are we going to have to do? We're going to have to sell it and then buy something else that he can get payros from. If it's really payros, then it's not a problem. Why? Right? Because we have to.
If it's payros, she comes in the payros to sell payros about that.
Right. But he can, here's the Rashi. Look at this third to last line in Rashi. Im nafula birusha kitzitza sa'etzim edagim shibakriya hu perian. Bar karka hu are Karen. Right, those are peros, and the karka is Karen. Right, you could cut the trees. Ramila kula hu karna. Boba etzim edagim kalin, they're going to disappear. Akoli macher miyad. And you have to sell it right away. Vila kakba and karka hu achol peros. Right, so that's what Rashi says the issue here is what? She's coming into a marriage with these items. And the question is, what's his entitlement? If the land is the Karen, and these trees are the payros, then that's his entitlement. He'll cut the trees down, and that'll be his production on the land, and she keeps the land. Or do we say that the trees are part of the Karen? Meaning that, and if they're going to disappear, we don't want to leave her in a bad position, so we'll sell off the forest, we'll sell off the wood, and she'll then buy other Karen, other land with it that he can get production out of. And so that's the question, according to Rashi. Mar says, Kalalo de Milso, Gizo Machlif Peira, and Gizo Machlif Karno. Mar says, basically, it's like a Bruckles type of item, but that if the trunk replenishes, meaning that if the item replenishes, then what? Then it's a Karen, right? If it does not replace itself, then it's Karen, and if it replaces itself, then it's Peros. Right? So it's like if we do by Bori Pri Adamah, Bori Pri Aitz, right? If Gizomachlit in Gizomachlit, that's one of the considerations. That if the tree produces fruit each year, meaning that the Gizo stays, then it's a Bori Pri Aitz. If the Karen disappears, then it's Bori Pri Adamah, because it's regrowing the entire Gizo every year. So that's so the same thing here. So that's the way Rashi learns it. Right?
The translation here in Zagata is a forest of sorb trees.
Sorb.
And today, that might be more valuable because that must be where sorbet comes from.
Great.
All right. So that
tells us the most use of that by now.
Rabbeinu Tam says that. Rabbeinu Tam learns the Gemara differently over here, different than Rashi, and suggests that the question here is not. Rashi says the question's about, if you're balancing between different items, what should you buy? And you're arguing about Ka'aro or Bate, and then the Gemara switches gears and goes back to asking if this falls to Rabbi Yerusha, right, is it Karen or is it Peros? So this part of the Gemara has nothing to do with the Gemara prior to it, right? It just kind of switches gears in the middle. And then it goes, Klo de Milso, and it gives you a basic principle to answer this. But then you have to, the Gemara then is going to, the Gemara is going to switch back. It almost seems like it's going to switch. So Tosfos on the other hand says, no, that this is a continuation of the previous questions, that what if it has to do with when your choice of what to buy. When it comes to buying, if you buy a forest, right, if there's a disagreement, should we buy land, should we buy a forest, right, is it Peros or is it Karen? What are you buying? Right, if you buy these trees, meaning that, is this a good buy to preserve her value, or is this not a good buy to preserve her value? So if we say the value is the Aro, then maybe, if we say these are Peros, then maybe it's a good buy, because then you can collect the Peros, and then she keeps the Aro. If we say it's all Karen, right, then it's not necessarily a good buy, because they're going to be cutting the trees, and that's not going to retain the value that she wants. We have to sell it again to retain the value. Just so you know, it also says this is a continuation of the series of questions that we have prior to this. All right. Next question is my Amar Zera, Amar Rabbi Oshia, Amar Rabbi Yane, Amilo, Amar Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Oshia, Amar Rabbi Yane, Agone, Vlad, Behemoth, Malug, Yishalim, Teshlume, Kepa. So this is a case where they stole, right? They brought in Behemoth, Malug. So it's an animal that comes in into the marriage, right? And it's a Malug, which means what? They did not assess the value of it. She gets the animal back afterwards, right? Or if she preaches him, he keeps it. So what does that mean? He gets the Peros. So what are Peros of a Behemoth? It's offering his baby. So now he has a baby, and it was stolen. Right? The baby's stolen. So then they find the thief. What does the thief have to do? He has to pay double, Ketha. So there the question is, Mashalim, Tashlumi Ketha Leisha. He has to pay double back to the wife. Come on! Who's this like? Loka Rabbana and Veloka Chananya. This is not like Rabbana or Chananya. What is Rabbana? I need to tell you. Vlad Behemoth Malug Nabal. Right, that the offspring of an animal belongs to the husband. That's the peros of the animal. Vlad Shivchas Malug Leisha. But the children of a Shivcha belong to the woman. Right, the Chananya Ben Achai. No, that the Shifkos children are just like animals' children, and they belong to the husband. Those are the peros of these items. Asa Gemara says, a filu tema divrei hakol, that this can go according to either opinion. Why? Pera takina l'rabbanan, pera de pera lo takina l'rabbanan. The rabbanan gave him rights to the offspring, but not to the offspring's offspring, which is what? Kepel, right. Kepel is being produced. Kepel is a value that's been generated through the vlad. It's not that this is the vlad itself, right? So that would come up, you know, based on this, you should have, the question comes up, and the Rishonim deal with this here. Who gets the kepo here? Right, there are two parts. Kepo involves what's double. One half of it is the teren. The other half of it is the kepo, is the knas, is the fine. So now, if you say, what, payra to payra, he doesn't get payra to payra, but he does get payra, maybe he should get the karen back. Maybe he should get the karen back.
At some point, it goes over to him, he puts it in his own field. Once it belongs to him, it was stolen from him, and he should get the kepo. So,
the kepo is, he's only entitled to the peros. The Gemara here, it's a strange thing. The Gemara here considers it payer to payer. It's a very strange, like you're saying, that he already owns it. So, why is it, what's going on here? Right, Rashi seems to say the whole kepo belongs to her, like the entire kepo is hers. Right, other Rishonim suggest, here, so if you look in Tosos, payer to payer, which is asking you a question. Right, but Rashi. No, this is, Dafa Mida Atim Alma. Only things that come from outside, we say, are payer to payer. Kagon Kepo, Glad Behemoth Malug. Above, she did the payer to payer, now it's a Kinole Rabbana. He gets to keep the offspring, like you're saying. If the animal gives birth again, this, he gets to keep this glad. If that animal gives birth again, that's his. That next animal that's born out of this baby is his. So what's the, why is over here are we saying it's different? We're saying over here because this is not a product of the animal itself. Yeah, what she's entitled to is the offspring of the animal or anything that's related to this offspring that comes from specifically this animal and because of his work with this animal or the offspring of this animal. If it comes meow, I mean, kepel, which is not a direct result of the animal. Right? Kepel is something because the guy was a thief, he has to pay kepel. Right, so that's not because of the animal he's getting the kepo. He gets the Karen, maybe. That's what Tosfos suggests. You're the Karen is because he stole the animal. So that he should get back that money. Yeah, so the kepo.
Right.
So it's mostly
a woman
involved,
so it's not really
payro. So that's the Ratnir and Rashi and the Kasava ain't a brother's peri and a Karen, why? Because she don't show the Karen. The same idea, like the same principle that we just had with trees.
Right.
Right? If you chop down a tree and it doesn't regenerate,
right,
then we say that it's considered
when you're asking, those are saying the Habamina. It sounds like the Rabbiana says that what? That it belongs to the woman. That the Vlad Behemoth Malug is to the woman. The Gemara in says that's not true. It belongs to the Baal, just that the Kepo does not belong to the Baal.
You could learn that way. You could learn that really is the Karen.
Right.
The same. And then it's Pera the Pera. And that goes to the husband because it's a great payroll, so it's just a benefit that you get.
Right, but we don't. The thing that Bartosus wants you to sell is the, or Rashi wants you to sell over here is that Katakla is our ain't let us pay real Karen. when Karkos...
When Jane
Jellicent. Right. All right, so that's the Havamim of the Gemara. The Gemara's conclusion is a pair. Okay, Bishlam of the Hananya, Haino de Lo Hashin and the Misa. And so Hananya's explanation makes sense because we don't worry about death. And therefore what? The Shifcha and the Behemoth, their offspring belong to the husband because the originals will stay. And the original mothers will both stay and then we don't worry about other Bani. Haino de Misa, Filu Blai, Behemoth, Malug, Namilo. But if you worry about people dying and that's why they didn't give up the Shifcha's children, then so too by the Behemoth's children, right? Filo Kaish in the Miso, right? If they don't worry about death, a flu black Shifcha's Malog Nami, then even the Shifcha's children should go. You have to be consistent, right? Hananya is consistent. He says in both cases they belong to the husband because we don't worry about Misa. And the white woman will get the Karen back, which is what? Is the Shifcha herself and the Aim, the mother of these animals, right? So the Gemara says, Golem Kaish in the Miso, right? They do worry about death. The shiny Behema, the Eka Ora, right? The only time we worry about the Karen disappearing is where the full value of the Karen would go away. It would become a zero. That's not true by an animal. An animal that dies is not a zero. Why? Because even a dead animal has value. So therefore, if by the case of the behemoth, we say that the payos belong to the Baal, why? Because the mother, even if she dies, has value, therefore the Karen is preserved in some way. It's not totally preserved, but it's preserved in some way. Whereas by a Shifcha, when she passes away, that's the end of all the value. And therefore they worry about me, so therefore we don't give it to the Baal, we don't give it to the husband. So Amar Avuna Barchia, Amar Shmo, Locha Ki Chananya. The Locha Ki Chananya, that all offspring belong to the Baal, right? Amar Rav Nachman Avagav Damer Shmuel Ocha Kechananya. Even though the Ocha is like Chananya, Mode Chananya Shem Garsha Notenet Damim Notlam Yipnei Shem Ocheit Avia. Even though the Ocha is like Chananya, she has a right to buy out the offspring of the Shifcha. Why? Because of Shevach Beis Avia. These servants have been on her family for many years, and she wants to maintain them in her family. Whenever she gets divorced, she has a right to exchange them for money. She can buy them out. She has the right to buy out these. She has like a call option to buy out these shifachot. She doesn't have to, but if she wants to, she can buy them out for the equivalent value. He can't keep them necessarily. Right, so Amar, I mean, not, he keeps the value, but not them.
I mean, he can do whatever he wants with them if he wants to sell
them. No, but she can say he doesn't want to sell them. She can force him to sell them. Right, the question is when he says, I want to keep these servants, and she says, no, I want them back, she has the right to buy them and force the sale for him. Okay, Amar of Nachman, Ichnisalo Eid Lechalvo, Rachel Gizatat. She brings in a goat for its milk, or a lamb for its wool. You're trying to go with the Beitzatah, or chickens for their eggs. The Deko Leperotav, or a palm tree for its fruit. Karen. They can keep going. He has the right to keep using it until the Karen disappears. He doesn't have to sell the mothers or anything like that. He uses them like he would normally use them. Amar Rav Nachman, Ailele Glima, if she brings in a coat into the marriage, Peravi Mikseba. The parents of a coat are wearing the coat. And that's it. Vazla Adekhali. And he can wear it until it wears down. And she gets back the rags afterwards. I mean, the whole point here in all these cases, as long as there's something left in the end, right, that the Karen, we don't worry about preserving the absolute value of the Karen. We just preserve, as long as the Karen has some value all the way to the bottom line, then we say it's fine. Do whatever you have to do with it till the Karen either gets down to that lowest value. And that's it. That's fine. Kiman, who's this all like? Yaitana, Tanya, Melech Ba'acholar Zeh Peros. That what? Salt and sand are Peros. Why are salt and sand are Peros? Because what? They're unlimited. And if there's something that, if you have, she has, owns beachfront property, right? And he's using the sand from the beachfront property, it's not like he's going to take up all the sand and there's going to be no sand left, right? So therefore, those are considered Peros. Same thing with salt. What they're talking about salt here is the way they used to get salt was they'd dig ditches near the water. Water would come in. When the ocean receded, the sun would bake out the water. Water would evaporate and there'd be salt left there. So again, that's an unlimited supply of salt because the ocean keeps coming in. You can keep making the salt. So both of those are considered peros. Pier shel gafrit, mach peret shel tzrif. But if you have a pit of tar, let's call it a pit of tar a lime. A lime pit, right? A mach peret shel tzrif, or a some sort of dish where they dig out aluminum, or I actually calls it a loom. I don't know what that is. It's aluminum or a loom, whatever it is that he's taken out of there from the tzrif. Both of those, according to Chachamim, are not peros. Rameir says that's Karen because they're not unlimited. I mean, that these are, it's like an oil well. It's like a gas, you know, a gas thing. I mean, all these things, they have something in them, but at some point they run out, right? So they're a mine that they run out of something, right? He says it's Karen. You can't let him take it, because in the end he's going to devalue the mine or the property, because the Chachamim say, no, Peros. Why is it Peros? Because the land is still there. In the end, even if he takes out the product that's there, the underlying land is still there. There's that pit, the land is still there. So in each of these cases, it's Keren, it's all considered Keren is the land, and the Peros are the dig out, and he can take that stuff. So that would be, the Gemara says here, this is what? They're like this Tana, that all these items, he can take the Peros until the Keren goes down, whatever's left over is left over for him. Alright, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Mokum Shiofa Koko. So where it says, Rabbi Shimon, Hainu Tana Kama. Rabbi Shimon is like the Chachamim. The Chachamim said the same thing. That was Mechubar, the Karka that belongs to him. And when it's Peros pollution, it belongs to her. And Rabbi Shimon said was, oh yeah, the same as you. Plus, when she gets divorced, it works that way too. So where it says, Amarava Mechubar Mshasitia Yikabino. That when they're attached, when she gets divorced, that will be the difference between these opinions. Obviously, if they're already picked, once they're getting divorced, they belong to the husband. Nobody's going to disagree with that. The only question is, if they're mechubar lekarka when they're getting divorced, according to Rabbi Shimon, that belongs to the woman. Just like it belongs to the man when she brought it in, it's going to belong to the woman when she leaves. They come and say, no. That what? That these are peros, and therefore he gets them. The husband will get to keep them as peros before they go out.
And the other way around.
Because of Rabbi Shimon. Right, exactly. Whatever Rabbi Shimon says, they say the Chachamim have to argue, because otherwise, what's Rabbi Shimon adding? He's saying what the Chachamim say, right? The fact that he made a new statement means that he saw something that he didn't like with the Chachamim's opinion. All right, next Mishnah. If you have older avodim mishrachot, you sell them to get karka because they don't have peros. I mean, they're not productive. Right? These older servants are not productive, and therefore he has no peros. So in order to create something where there's Karen and peros, we sell them and buy Karen. Don't sell them because they're like part of her house. I mean, these servants have been there forever. They're part of the house, so you shouldn't sell them.
They're not productive. They don't do anything. What are you going to be able to sell them for?
All right, so somebody asked your question. Very good. Who says that? Saw that. Good question. I have to say they are productive somehow.
She has young children. She needs.
Can't remember now. I saw your question in one of the Rishonim, and I don't know where I saw it. That right. There has to be some value here, right?
So the husband is pushing.
Right.
If she wanted to sell it, she wanted to see it laying out there, Karen,
right.
She could do it.
She could do it. But that depends on Rashi. I think that's Makkel's Rashi and Tosfos in the last mission. Makkel's Rashi and Tosfos in the last mission is that either one of them can ask for the higher level of Karen. And the other mission, but that's what Rashi says. Rashi says either one has the right. Tosfos says, no, it's only the woman's right to demand a higher level of Karen. The husband can't demand a higher level of Karen.
So she always sells the trouble.
Yeah, I guess something. But, right. That's it. All right, Ruach HaPeres. B'shem HaOmer, Lo Tim Kor B'nei She'en Shevach B'Saviyah. Nafala Zeitin Gifanim Uz Kenim Yimachu. What happens if you get old olive trees or old vineyards? Right, again, you sell them, Yilachach B'em Karkav Ruach HaPeres. So this is where Tosfos asked the question. That's what I saw it here. Rashman, the Zeitin Gifanim Kenim Osim Ktsad Peres. They have to do something. You have to suggest that they have some productivity. So meaning that they're lower level of productivity, not, they can't be a zero, right? Because otherwise then you're right. What are we talking about over here? All right, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lo Tim Kor B'nei She'en Shevach B'Saviyah. Again, if these are properties or vineyards that have been in their family for so long, we don't force them to sell them. That's only if these items fell in her land, is the machlokas. But if she owns, for instance, she owns a vineyard, but she doesn't own the land. They were leasing the land, and they have a vineyard on this leased land, then then over there we say definitely sell. Why? Because in the end, if these trees die, there's nothing left for her. Right? So then we say definitely got to sell it because there's nothing left. Then the Karen will be a zero, and we can't allow that to go. Maskalav Yosi, her avodim shvachos, the chisad shena shel adami. But today, avodim shvachos are like a property that's not hers. When they die, it's a zero, right? Upligi, and we see they argue. Ela itmar ochidmar. That the statement of from Kana has to be this way. Emor Kana Marav. Machlokas b'shzeid sod shena shel. That's where there's a machlokas, but it's not hers, right? Aval b'sod shel. But if the land belongs to her, then everybody agrees, what? That you don't sell it because then there is a Karen preserved and she can make a demand of Shevach Beis Aviyah and then they don't have to worry about it.
What if you sell it and say you have a Karen and you'll get no proof?
No, because the husband wants something productive. He has a land with a bunch of vines on it that you're producing nothing. So he's getting nothing out of this property. He's getting no payros. I mean, he's being cheated out of his payros, in a sense. But she's allowed to, that's my focus here. Is she allowed to say, these vineyards have been with my family forever, and she can say, this is what the payros you get, this low production, that's it. Or can he force her and say, no, let's clear the land and put in a new vineyard here. I mean, that's really the question here. Which one trumps? And that's my focus. My focus in the mission is, Ishevach be more important, and therefore he's only entitled to whatever is there. Or if we say, no, that his payros give him the right to go and to clear the land.
Then she can say, keep it.
Right.
But it's theoretically, from a financial point, it's exactly like a tree without a karaka, because there'll be no payros.
There'll be no payros. Now, there are some. We saw that there has to be a little production.
No, there's a little bit of thing. But the same little payros in both places. Right. So, then saying the karaka shouldn't play a big role, it's still shevach b'sadir. I mean, it's a person. If you hold that in the streets of Arakarka, you're forced to sell and show up as a deal sooner, and also if she has the karka, right. What do you gain by the karka?
Well, I think he wants to sell the land. He doesn't want to just sell the vineyard. He wants to sell the whole land. That's what she can say.
She can say, divorce her, why? She can say, I don't want to, why? Because she's trying to show up as a deal.
Right.
So why is that show up as a deal? Everyone agrees. If you show up as a deal on its own trees, it'll be on the locals. The selling it because it's karka makes it stronger. Or maybe it's just a deal, so it's karka.
Right. Because it's something that's been in the family forever, and therefore we say.
Then
Shevach B'Sadir is not as valuable because in the end she knows that it's going to go away.
So it's all in Shevach B'Sadir. It's not because it's the lands of some Karen.
She can argue for Shevach B'Sadir, but in the end Shevach B'Sadir is only so valuable. I mean, because there is going to be a point where it's not going to matter.
Where we say Shevach B'Sadir, we say there's an enduring value to it. It's equal to the older Israelis. But if they have offspring, you know, they generation to generation, you know, will stay in the family. Even when the older ones aren't able to work anymore.
That's my close. But just as asking is that what if you have, like, it almost seems counterintuitive. It's when the property lasts forever, then we say that she can demand, she can stay, and they
don't
agree.
But I don't think it's counterintuitive. I think that's intuitive. And, you know, what's the point of saying something to Shevach B'Sadir if it's not going to be around?
That's what I
think.
Right?
I think it's because his character is somehow counter. Financially, that's why everyone agrees that she can do it.
But that's the answer. The answer is that it's all about Shevach B'Sadir, which has to do with creation, right? That has to do with
Shevach B'Sadir. The last problem.
Okay, we'll start the mission and then we'll do the Gemara tomorrow. So, Mosi Otzos on Nechse Yishto, what happens if he invests in the land? All right, because to get his payroll out, he's got to invest in the land. Otzi Harve, Bacho Kima, if he paid a lot, meaning he invested a lot, Bacho Kima, and the production was low, right? Kima, if he put in a lot, he invested a little, I'm sorry, Bacho Harve, he got a lot of production, Mashotzi Otzi, Mashotzi Bacho. That's his problem. He's a bad investor or a good investor. That's his, you know, that's the stuff. Now, Otzi below Bacho. Now, the problem is, what if he paid in money and then he didn't get anything out of it? Right? What happens if he got zero? It was a zero. Now, the question is, why? What's the issue of the zero here? So we have to discuss it. If he gets, if he gets divorced, what's happening here that he didn't get any production out of it? So, Yishba Kamahotzi Mito. They take a nether that he, how much he paid in, and then he'll take it out. Why do they do that? Obviously, it's what? To encourage people to invest in their land. Because if you don't invest in the land, meaning that if the husband's always at risk, that what? If they get divorced, that he's going to lose out his investment, but he'll never put invest in it. Right. So they'll both lose. But in the end, right, it won't be invested. So the point is, to encourage investment, we say that he will always get his investment out. Right. Either he'll get the production, which is his problem with a bad investor, or if he invested and he gets nothing, then he's going to get zero, then we say get him back his investment, so that at least then he's protected and he knows to invest in it.
Because we'll take the risk, because that one's the other.